Hello. Hi, everyone. My name is Meenal Patel. I am going to be presenting on the evidence of the impact of California's 2007 smoke-free vehicle law. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Yingying Meng, Tony Kuo, Hong Zhang, Barbara Deich, and William McCarthy, who are both here. So thank you. And I'd also like to say I have no relationships to disclose. So a little bit about smoke-free car laws. There are six states and Puerto Rico who currently have some form of a smoke-free law. And so that's Oregon, California, Utah, Arkansas, Louisiana, and Maine. But you can see that the rest of the states don't have any sort of smoke-free law for cars. And so in California, the law was passed. So a little bit about the background. When we talk about smoke-free car laws, proponents assert that such laws will reduce child exposure to secondhand smoke, but we don't really have much evidence for this claim. And also, if these laws are effective, then children in states with these laws should report significantly reduced exposure to smoking in the cars after the implementation of the law compared to before, and also hopefully health outcomes related. So we wanted to take a look at that. So to give you some background, the law was fully implemented in January 2008, but it was passed in 2007. And I feel that's important to recognize because when legislation is being passed, there's a lot of awareness about the topic. And so really it went into effect sooner than the official date. And what it does is it prohibits smoking in a motor vehicle when a minor under the age of 17 is present. And a little bit about this, because there is opposition to this law, as you can imagine. Law enforcement can't stop a vehicle for just that violation alone, but if it's a secondary violation, like let's say they got a speeding ticket or, you know, ran a red light, then they can have a fine of up to $100. So the enforcement isn't as big a deal as much as the awareness of the law and, you know, getting people to understand that it's not legal to be smoking with a minor in the car. And so some of the reasons why we would want to minimize youth exposure to adult secondhand smoke is because obviously we all know secondhand smoke is harmful to young lungs and can trigger asthma attacks in youth who have asthma already. We see more cases of asthma for kids who are exposed to tobacco. And then we know that adult smoking, secondhand smoke, can also reduce the youth's perception that smoking is harmful. So I think that's an issue to remember, because if they see a parent or an adult who, you know, is taking them to school or whatnot smoking, then they might think, oh, it's not so bad for you. And the third thing that I was thinking is that adult smoking, secondhand smoke, can also induce impressionable youth to imitate the adult behavior and make them take up smoking because they say, oh, well, you know, my driver's smoking, it's not so bad, maybe I should try it. It's kind of cool that, you know, adults do it. So these are all things with secondhand smoke in youth. And so what we did to assess this law is looked at the California Student Tobacco Survey, and it's a biannual in-school anonymous self-reported student tobacco use survey that uses a school-based multi-stage stratified cluster sampling design. So what does that mean? Well, we looked at all the public middle and high schools in California, and we excluded alternative schools or private schools and schools with less than 50 students enrolled from grades to 6 to 12. So we excluded very small schools. And then from that, we selected randomly 156 high schools and 35 middle schools. And our school response rates vary from 75 to 95%. And the student response rates within those schools are 60 to 85. So it's fairly representative of the youth in the state of California, because we have middle and high school students. So a little bit about the logic model before we get into the actual data. You know, there's contextual factors that are related to youth smoking, child smoking behavior, such as the gender of the child, the race, ethnicity, the age, demographic variables. And then we also have data at the school level of the average parent education and the average student smoking at the school level. But then what we're interested in is exposure to a person smoking in the car. So that's directly related to obviously the exposure but perceived harmfulness, and then we have the number of friends who smoke, which you know, can also increase a child's smoking behavior, as well as the intent to smoke. So all of these things are working together. It looks a bit complex, but you know, there's multiple factors related to youth smoking. And so what we did was we looked at the question, did you ride in a car with someone smoking cigarettes? And on the left side, you see the California Student Tobacco Survey, and on the right side, it's the National Youth Tobacco Survey. And we see that if you notice, there's a big dip in the between 2005 and 2007, but we also see a secular trend of, a reduced proportion of those saying they did ride in a car with someone smoking cigarettes. So let's take a look at this a little bit more. So when we looked at it, we thought, okay, well, let's write out the darker blue line is the actual data of what we saw with the California Student Tobacco Survey. We see that the slope is decreasing and it's all statistically significant. Now, if we were to still have the same slope, if the law hadn't gone into effect, and we had just looked at the slope for the 2001 and 2005 and we applied it, then it would be that purple line. So again, a decreasing downward trend, but not the same as what we see in our actual data. And when we look at the red line, that's what it would be with the National Youth Tobacco Survey, and we see, again, a decreasing line, but not the same as what we observed in California. So, you know, what we saw was in 2001, 24% of the youth said that they were exposed to smoking in the car, and we have a 1% decline until 2005, which isn't very much, but then from 2005 to 2009, we see an additional 5.8% per year decline, and that's, you know, an 18.3% reduction. And then if we look at the national data, it's really only 4.8% reduction from 1999 to 2004, and then a 2.5% from 2006 to 2009. So, you know, that's giving us some sort of evidence that, yes, perhaps California smoke-free law is related to the reduced exposure to riding in a car with someone who's smoking cigarettes. But, you know, what does this really mean? Are there possible medical or behavioral benefits to school children being less exposed to smoking in cars? And so one of the things that we looked at was the proportion of non-smoking students intending to smoke in the next year. This is a question that we ask in our California State Tobacco Survey. And we see that for youth who are exposed to the smoking in the car, we see a statistically significant association to the youth intent to smoke, controlling for gender, age, ethnicity, etc., which is generally graded. So we see distinctions between each of these exposures, and it's all statistically significant. And I think intention to smoke is really important because we're talking about very impressionable youth. And so we looked at then the association between the frequency of exposure to smoking in a car and student-reported smoking in the last 30 days. And again, we see a statistically significant association, again, generally graded association between, you know, the days of exposure to smoking in a car and their actual reporting of smoking in the last 30 days. And the next thing I was interested in secondhand smoke relationship to youth tobacco is the association between the frequency of exposure to a smoker in the car and the proportion who said that smoking 1 to 5 cigarettes a day was harmless. Now, if you are exposed to someone smoking in the car, you may start having that impression that it's really not that big a deal to be smoking just 1 to 5 cigarettes. Again, a generally graded statistical significant association to the exposure in the car for the proportion who said smoking 1 to 5 cigarettes was harmless. And then I thought, okay, asthma is another big issue with our youth, and obviously if we're exposing to kids in the car with smoke, that's a huge trigger for those who have asthma. And so same thing, we see a generally graded statistical significant association to those who, you know, the number of days exposed to smoking in the car with their asthma diagnosis. And I think these are really important things because we haven't seen this data before, and to show that, yes, there may be a decrease in the exposure to tobacco use, but now also there's a significant association to outcomes such as asthma. And so the proportion of students that reported exposure to smokers in their car dropped faster in California than nationally, as we saw, following the passage of the smoke-free car law. In addition, the frequency of exposure to secondhand smoke in the car was positively associated with lifetime asthma diagnosis, increased likelihood of current smoking, increased intention to smoke in the future among current smokers, non-smokers, and increased perception that smoking 1 to 5 cigarettes per day was harmless. I have not seen statistical significance in all of these things in any data sets before, so I was pretty excited to see this because it's showing that it is important, the exposure to secondhand smoke. And so I think this research is really important because researchers with access to data on other non-California youth populations can examine these hypotheses to test if it's valid for other states or other locations geographically to either confirm or disconfirm these results because, you know, I was a little bit shocked to see significance. And I think it's important to also see, will this really help with other laws in other states? And so if these results are confirmed, in other non-California youth populations, it would be good for policymakers in the remaining 44 states that haven't done so to possibly legislate bans on smoking in passenger cars when children are present. That's the end because I spoke very fast, but I'll be available for questions later.